However, I'm going to do that. Why am I going to go? Well, he's last race, excused because he was wide. Two back, but how can I excuse that at today's level? Ran a 92 speed rating.
He's also 0 for 12.
Well, I don't run in 0 for 12. These do. Well, in this very class, you have seen 0 for 12 horses who figured in the new one. But he's 87. Here's why I won't go back through. I won't look very far back. I want to see recency. He's 84% a person by the new class thing. He's only 94. That's very low. He's under 100 in both cases. That horse has got to show me something right now. He's not got the class, back class, or any kind of class that would make it possible for you to look much farther than what you see in front of you. What you see is what you get, and that's what happened. He finished in the back half of the field. Let's go to the bottom horse. Let's take the 2 minutes. Rampour. Rampour's 121% of purse. But what is he, essentially? He's a turf horse, isn't he, huh? One time on the dirt, he gets beaten 10 and 3/4 length. I don't think anyone's going to get too excited about Rampour. If you did get excited about what the heck would you take him off? What would you do to try to make him? You've got to stop getting excited about these horses. Daryl Martin's famous words, if they beat you, they beat you. And once in a while, some horse that you couldn't get is going to beat you, and then you get all worried. But how do you handle situations like that? You smile. As you tear up your ticket. Or if you're saving your losing tickets in light of the new federal tax laws, then what you do is, thank you. Then what you do is, you'll be very happy because you just got yourself a nice write-off.
You mean you got to save all these
things? I do. Yeah, the new law, you read it in the follow-up, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't read it in the last fall by William Scott, the famous How Will Your Horse Run Today? William Scott wrote an article for us. You know, he's a very famous lawyer.
Yeah, I know. Well, right, yeah. That's if you're going to declare all this.
Okay, well, you can take off a third of your house rent or payment or mortgage, and you just have to keep the same kind you would in business. Don't go running around looking for old tickets and stuff. You don't have to do that anymore. You just have
no footprints.
You have to show up. Just normal, what the normal businessman has. They know I'm going to harass you as a degenerate.
They may audit you every year.
Especially if you win, just tell them you lost. No, they get tired of that. If you want to make it a business, you can do it. And it can be a part-time business, too. Just like if you had a small thing and worked, had a job in that. Take advantage of it, not be ashamed of what we do. So they ought to keep good records. They'll get tired of it after a while. Okay, now we've got two horses. We've got three horses that we've kept. Some of you might have kept, we kept Garrison, Garion. We kept El Monsieur, Tino Nino, and Grey Gauntlet. You got four horses in the race. Two of them, one of them placed. Rampour did show, even though I could see no reason for it. That happens, and paid $13 to show. But if you can tell me how you're going to get Rampour as your show horse, I've got some ridiculous show horses, but never any.
I had one that paid $50 to place yesterday.
What you could say is he ran for a heck of a long distance in these last races. He should be happy to go shorter. If they tell him today's race is a mile and 3/8, then and he runs like he might, going shorter might feel so good. He came in third. That's only
3/4.
Now look at your Grey Gauntlet. This may be a horse some of you want to throw out. It's 128% of purse. See, and he's been running for 32, 40, 40, 50, 80, 62, 5, 70,000. And with the exception of the race before the last race, and one of them down there in the middle, He's always been, done a creditable piece of work. Certainly mild times he ran against last time Hollywood cooked the horse. 45-1, 109, 4 internal fractions of a rod. 135-1 is not so bad. So he got cooked, but he didn't embarrass himself, as Dick would say.
Race folks are up. And he did the previous race against extra fractions.
This is the kind of a horse you're looking for. He's over the purse. He's usually runs a credible performance at a much higher level. You got two things you want to say. Hey, will he run back to that 40,000 race three times a go? It's optional. Some would throw him out, some would leave him in. What's the one key phrase that Thomas taught us that we would make us look a third time at the purse?
He's going for his lowest class.
That's it. You got it. Look at the head of the class. New low class level. Never has been at this level before. And has a fairly creditable performance record. New low class level is, if you're going to talk about angles, is one of the more accurate statistical angles you can come up with. It's not so good when they've been running 3,200 and 4,000 and 4,200 and 3,600 and dropped to 2,000. That is a new low class level, but it doesn't have the same ring. It's going from 80 to 60 to 70 down to 20. Now, is there any reason why Tino Nino should not be taken off the last race? A lot of people see 2 3/4 length feet, and he's not going to figure. Did they look over there and see that 88 speed rating? That means that the horse that won this race won it with a 91 speed rating. That's pretty much the same kind of a pace that, well, it's the fastest. Drought pace, certainly at anything approaching this level, is faster than the race that Nostradamus won by fifth. So he ran against a very comparable pace to this level and ran with a style. In fact, he overdid running with a style that is winning at this distance. He's a sustained pace horse. He just let himself get too far back then. And he's in every other, look at his pattern. He had two in a row, and his every other race was good. So Gummy's
form cycle.
Additional add to this, too, and that is that at Hollywood Park in his last race, he was trying to overcome an extreme bias against closers. And all of you know that Hollywood two-turn races are biased toward front. There's a horse trying to come from 19 lengths back or 18 lengths back. That's a plus in his favor.
That's a plus too. I didn't even know about that, but there's another plus. See, the more you know, if you use it positively. We have two things that people do with knowledge. They either know so much that it confuses the hell out of them, they don't know what to do, so they'd be better off if they were ignorant. Or you can do like Tom does and take your knowledge and play it with precision. Most people, they get so much knowledge, they get so many pieces of evidence and rules, they say, well, which one do I use on this race? Information can be a very dangerous thing or it can be a very beneficial thing depending on how you use it. If you didn't have that bit of information, you'd still know that the horse runs fast enough, has the class, and he's got the form, and his form cycle has been in every other one situation here this year, most of it. And he certainly has proved that he can run at this level. Besides that, he paid $15. Gray Gauntlet, one of those kind of horses you've got to put in your. In this field, this is not exactly a standout field of horses.
He couldn't figure out. The favorite only went off at 4-1.
this is the kind of race you want to win, because it's very beautiful, very playable, and the public is very undecided, and these are the kind of, who is to tell me that they've been taking, having to take 3-2 odds, and 7-5, and stuff like that, that the mutuals aren't paying for. This was probably the one of two good mutuals that day. The rest of them were favorites on this day. That's why I didn't put them in the room. You got to get this one.
I want to reinforce something Howard said about Nostradamus early on, and that is, because you fall into this trap a lot, the temptation to use that second race back, and the point was made that he seems to only run well at 10 and 12-5. The temptation to use the second race back, you got to remember that you're using a race in which you cleared the field by 4 lengths at the first call. Now, I happened to play that horse in Las Vegas, so it was even more serious than that. There were no front runners in the race except for him. So that made it even worse, I mean, in terms of using this race. But you've got to find another race that sets up that way. So you the temptation to use that race, you're taking a horse that went wire to wire easily all the way around the racetrack, and that's always dangerous. And secondly, to reinforce the point even further about using the race level at which the horse is comfortable. Now, the other day, the man that had claimed him dropped him back where he belonged, to top. Then he becomes a contender again, and he got beat a neck in a photo the other day, at a decent, I think it was 5-2. The point is that he was back at his comfort level, 12 fives and 10. So anytime you're looking at a horse that's running at 20 and he never performs better than 10 or 12-5, even if you get a good figure on the horse, you got to think right here that, wait a minute, I mean, you can always blow that figure. I can blow a variant that I send out. So you always have to look at it with, take an extra shot. And Nostradamus, when he got back where he belonged, became a contender and ran big the other day.
Sure, he ran better than par at his level, didn't he?
Incidentally, that powerful Paul race, this is meant to be a fun, was a very powerful race. The one that Teodino came out of, a highly rated race for that level. That's another support for Teodino. Now, I didn't handicap this race. My brother happened to play it because he's into what we do now, and he loved it. And he happened to play Teodino, and I had a chance to comment on it before the race.
He was a 2-4-1 on my figures.
A strong one.
A very strong one. His final fraction was 52.86, which I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but it's
you know where
it's
he
really
came
good.
Out? You know where he came out? Because the man didn't do what we just did. He came out number 7 on his ranking. His highest was number 4 sustained. He was 7-6-4 because the man put in all these horses. If you put in all these horses, if you think that synergism is going to be salvation, if you put in those horses, synergism is not going to get that horse for it. No way. Nothing's going to get that horse for it. You put in all these other horses. You just can't work. Nothing more than this. The public perceives, and we all have a little bit of the public in us. The public looks at a race, and some ancient myth, some.
Are we paying our bills, Howard?
Yeah, okay. You don't want the air conditioning to go out.
No wonder you've been having the public with your computer. That kind of thing will go on the computer.
Sure will.
Very
good. Just RAM, that's all.
You got a surge protector?
Yeah, well, we're going to get one. We got a little one down there. It's not a scissors. You got a light on it, the big thing speaks up. The lightning rod there. Well, I don't know. I didn't connect it the other day. Let's keep this thing in mind. If you put in all these horses, and here's what the public thinks. And let me tell you something. Psychiatrists think this too. The whole gambling. I'm going to do a thing in Reno, University of Nevada, a presentation with a bunch of health healing professionals on it, what they call pathological gamblers. They think that they're all gamblers. There's no way to win, and they're all, if anybody who gambles is pathological, and there are 15 million all will be under treatment, us included. And I'm going to go and puncture their bubble. All the biggies are going to be there.
This kind of convinces me I'm wrong.
No. I'm not going to do it to convince him, but I'm sure it's not going to upset him.
Yeah.
And you can do it, sure.
It already says in the bottom that I'm not going to convince him. But the idea is that, and I put in this paper, the reason that they think this is they think of a horse race, as does most of the public, and these are supposedly bright people, they get doctorates and things, that they think that horse race is something where all the entrants go to the post with relatively the same chance to win. You know, they're often, any horse can win the race. Well, that's a technical fact. Any horse can possibly win the race if you want to go to the... If you want to play the percentages, any team can win the World Series, too. But you notice that it ends up between two of them. You've got to play percentages. And every horse in a race cannot win. So what most of our people do subconsciously, a lot of them, not most of them, many horses, but most of them in the beginning, they want to make a line for every horse. They've got to have a pace line. Why? You know. So they've got to find a line. So they, well, that's no good. That's, oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Pretty soon, every one of these horses has got a real good line. So, but when they come to the winner, they don't go back here to one at, see, when they're back here when they won at Santa Anita. He said, he won a lot. His winning races were not as good as his last race. But they would go back and, oh, give me one of those goodies. He didn't on this horse. At least he was smart enough to see that that was a better race than those winning races. But he still, because he put in all those other horses, his horse came out seventh. Can't do that. That's the chief thing. You've got to exercise this kind of judgment, do this process we just went through. Now, you see how easy it was? Nobody argued me. He said anything was wrong. If you have any arguments about these horses, throwing them out or leaving them in or the baselines you use, speak. Because if you linger,
no argument, but these figures are a little small. I come up. Have a question here.
Yeah, they are small.
Tio Nino, I think, has an energy of 53.53.
63. 50.63.
63.
Are you the percent early or the energy?
And total energy.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And percent early, I have 50.86 using the last race.
Yeah, that's marvelous for this distance at Del Mar.
Or he's won in 50.78.
Anyway, on Gray Gauntlet, the energy is 54.71, I believe, with these figures as I can read. Percent early is 50.85, just about what I have for Tio Nino. Now, how do you use the energy? It's nearly a whole point off.
Of what?
Of Gray Gauntlet to Tio Nino.
Which race are you using on Gray Gauntlet? First,
I took the third one down.
Yeah,
right. So that's the problem. But then you're looking at a one-turn mile, John, mm-hmm. and the energy, and they just flat run much, much faster in that one-turn mile because there's only one turn.
What did Gray Gauntlet do? Gray Gauntlet placed. He's a contra-energy horse.
Yeah, but there's a basic issue involved here, and that is you can't, without an adjustment, you cannot compare the total energy in a one-turn mile to a two-turn route.
Okay, so how many points should I give the one-turn mile to bring it up to an average?
You get to figure that one out. I'll tell you what it is. It's about 0.7 against the one-turn mile to go to the two-turn route. But see, I convert everything into my variance, so I don't do that. It's right. All taken care of in the variance. But that's about what it is.
So then the energy...
So knocking down by about 0.7 to tell me what the comparison is.
So that would be about 54 even then.
No, 0.7. What was his total energy?
Well, I think it's 54.71.
That was 54.70. That would knock him down to about 54 even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's only a couple lengths ahead of Tio Nino.
Yeah, that's unadjusted, though.
That's unadjusted.
That does not take a daily variant into consideration.
No, that's right.
Tio Nino is like a 53.63 or something like that.
Yeah,
operated. It was not a
55 with no variant.
And if you compare Gray Gauntlet's last race,
you can see that he slipped a little.
So now they're very close, yeah.
Yeah, I see.
They do finish very close.
So they play two horses.
Okay, that answers it. That brings them together. Thank you.
$54.73 Ross.
Yes. Yeah, like Tom said, takes 0.7 off and you come down 54.0, which puts it in the ballpark to go.
How are they going to run it? They're all within 0.72 of 54.10. Now, I don't know where he got 54.10, because this was the first race on opening day. Maybe he just left over for a while. I don't know. So he got it. There it is. That's, somebody said, call Jay Desperate on the phone. Can you play this, Kevin? During the opening week of a meet, or do you have to wait for a while? Any method is going better on the opening day of a meet or for the closing day of a meet, because everybody else is worried about all those things they heard about. You can't win on opening day and closing day, so they're all going to be cautious and make the wrong moves. Well, you don't win as much on the opening day as if you knew more about the track. But after the first race is run, you know more than you did before it was run, but this is the kind of first race they're going to give you. You all remember last year, Del Mar was running sustained and routes and early sprints, especially early in 6 miles. That was the year they put in the 7, wasn't it? Last year, the first time they had 7. They go 7.5 or something. It's so strange.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago they put the shooting.
So you just play with what you know until you know something different. Del Mar last year was running just about this way he's running this year. He's no longer, except in certain sprint distances, even there not like they used to be. It used to be they got out in front of the first fraction. Del Mar was breeze. That was a great early track. One more. So I'm going to ask Tom and Dick to chime in on this. We're going to talk now about, is there any questions on that? There's a lot of silence out there, but when we're together alone or when you're writing me letters, this is the subject that I hear the most about. Picking contenders and pace lines. Dennis, do you have any questions? Anybody got any questions? Does anything we say this help you? A little bit. I like it to help you a whole lot. What can we do to make it help you a whole lot?
Howard, do you have an example or two maybe you could review where I sometimes seem to be confused is looking at these races where you have maiden winners and maiden claiming winners going into claiming races and honest races?
Well, the first place you want to see it, what they've obviously won their maiden race,
yeah,
or their maiden claim. So you want to see if you find most of the maiden claimers won that a purse that was considerably lower than today's purse. That's where it would be nice if If you only have one win and no places and shows, you can pretty well determine what it won at. It'd be nice to know what the first was of that race. You keep records, you should have no problem. Go back over your records. What level did this maiden win at? You only got purse levels to go on because there's no real framing value of it. If it's equal to or higher than today's purse, we have found, as a rule of thumb, that that race is really carded for the maiden winner. Non-winners are won except maiden or claiming. Now, the horse that came out of a straight maiden race who won it certainly should be better than the horse that came out of a maiden claiming race. Now, if you're using the variance that Tom provides, you'll know precisely the adjustment, how well it ran against that level by par. Because he does have maiden par. Does know. So how well did it run against the par, and what is today's par? He's going up to say what, 10,000 claiming or 20 or 15 or whatever, allowance, whatever it is. What is the par today, what did it win at? Did it win wire to wire? Or did it, was it contested? These uncontested maiden wins do not usually fare well even when they have all the other factors.
Can I add to this, Howard?
Sure, yeah.
Because baseline interpretation is crucial here, because you get so many of these maidens with solid figures when they step up, and the weakness that they often show, the first thing you have to do is analyze that first fraction, because so many of these maiden winners run 22, for example, and then keep right on going because they're able to get the lead in a 22 quarter and keep on running. When they step up against other winners, they often face horses that run 21.3, 21.4 regularly. And the minute you see that, you downgrade that maiden win. Seriously downgrade it. Even more so, the second fraction is vulnerable on those maiden winners, because often they can go 21.3 or 4, but then they'll coast around the turn, especially at Del Mar and Santa Anita, because turn times is especially important at those two racetracks. And they'll coast around the turn in their maiden win. And then when they face winners, they'll face winners that can really fly around the turn. And that big figure they earned in their maiden win because they were allowed to be comfortable on the lead or close to the lead, that falls apart on them. And you've got a number of these just recently, because I've sent a few amount of horses to watch. Nicola Dance, for example, was one. Well, he happened to win a very impressive maiden win. But when he stepped in against allowance horses, he had four of the horses who could do the quarter and what he could, and he was stuck down on the red. And all of a sudden, he's no longer a horse to watch, or he's not all that solid. Summer Dress, one that I spent a lot of time with on the board here last time, we took her particularly without analyzing the race. And as it turned out, there was a horse in there capable of going 21-2. And so that destroyed Summer Dress over in Hollywood. Well, she came back to Del Mar, and analyzing her first fraction in Del Mar, she found a field that she could get to the lead with. And then she reproduced the form that she had run at Hollywood Park, and only she paid a big price at 960. You have to analyze those early fractions of those maiden winners. Because no matter what that factor W might be, they might be vulnerable early on. And until they learn to handle that early pressure, they're just not good bets, no matter what their figure is walking in.
I happened to bump into Jim Quinn at the Hilton last week, and he was telling me that...
Dame Dropper.
The reason I'm saying this is because this comment is not for me, it's from him, and he said he's always had a lot of trouble with Del Mar, and he said that the far turn at Del Mar is unbanked, and that created some special situation or something that he just felt he couldn't get around for whatever reason. Do you have any insight about that?
A little bit. It is less banked.
Less banked.
At one time, it was not banked at all.
Okay.
It is less banked than the other racetrack. But again, often horses are coming around at Del Mar, coming around on the outside, although not all that wide, and winning their races. But you don't want them too wide. I mean, that's a serious trouble line at Del Mar. When you get a horse that's fanned wide, and you get him next time, that's a serious trouble line at Del Mar, because they don't recover from it. Okay. But that has nothing to do with those main horses stepping up.
You said the turn reminded me of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody's talking about, Sam, before we get off of this stuff. See a maiden win. This is the win. let's say it's about how the page sets up today. Now, today, you notice against today's pace, which is going to be faster here, your maiden winner shows a weakness here. Yes, two reasons. They tend to lope. If they get on the lead, they win real easy. They get with winners. They tend to lope here. They have trouble negotiating the turn because they're younger, rawer. And then they pick up again here. And you say, oh, excuse that, but Tom has pointed that this, you talked about James Quinn. Quinn learned this, this one of these classes himself, and it improved his play considerably. Those maiden winners, when they show a bad turn time, relative to today's pace now, not to their own pace, if they run wire to wire, they're the pace. But you stick what today's pace, winners, why are they running that second fraction, turn time? You're going to find that you see a deficiency here. That maiden is not going to do well. But you find another maiden who continued and was right up there, 58 something. That maiden, the one you were looking for. You're looking
Invariably, these are short prices too. Because they won impressively. This is a dream race. This is the dream race on your readout. This is not another horse. This is the dream race today.
Pace.
That means there's a horse that can do 58.20 in this field. See, that's not pace of the race, pace of the horse. That's dream race on your. Actually, this would be 53.
I'm using phase three. Which number is that?
This is the horse. This is the race he won, and today he's in against the horse that can go 58 and something second fraction. So he's not going to be allowed to gallop around that turn. Let me tell you how important this is. William Scott, right? Joe Finley. Mm-hmm. And we spent some time over at Oak Tree last year, and this subject, Jim had introduced the subject. He said, Tom's got something to say. And we talked about it for a little while, and he was going to go back and do research on it because he thought it was fascinating as a way of balancing current form and comparisons. The turn time was one that hadn't really spent a lot of time with. And now, if somebody, for me, if somebody of that stature thinks that's very important, we should think that's very important because we're doing it already, right? But that is a great way to qualify those main winners with big figures. That's why a horse like Nostradamus, we were talking about Nostradamus a little while ago, right? He's effective at 10 and 12.5. There's a reason for that. That internally, in his races at other levels, he can't handle something like this. So, I mean, these are straight maintenance and not a 12.5 horse, but the principle still applies at all levels. That's why horses that win impressively at 10, double jump to 16, and get beat even with the best. Because they can't handle some piece of the pressure that matches.
I made an observation about it. I've watched Del Mar races now for 2 years, having a little background in the methodology. And the one thing I've never been able to understand is how the horses that can accelerate on that turn can come out of the turn and get so many lengths on the field so rapidly. And Jim and I were talking about this, and I thought it was because the track was banked more. Maybe it's because it's not banked at all, or banked very little. But the two times last year and the whole meeting in the sprint races that a horse went way outside the model to win, they had a very huge advantage. By huge, I mean like at least a foot per second advantage in that middle fraction. And
I think it's a powerful method, that middle fraction, because it points to horses that are just coming into form,
yeah.
Horses that are just getting better. Or horses that actually ran their race and for one reason or another just didn't finish well. And but still, those horses are in form because they're able to handle that turn. And I also think that that's a sign of a sore horse, a horse that can't handle that turn. Or a horse that's green, and a horse that's deteriorating in the second fraction. That was back to the Scott discussion, because we were talking about a horse specifically, a horse called Oracowl, who I haven't made my biggest bet of the Oak Tree meeting on the horse. He won by 8 lengths. And he was a little concerned that he lost ground in his previous race. And the argument was that, but if you look at the second fraction, he accelerated as he normally does. He just wasn't able to handle that particular class he was in against. But his second fraction was in 10. When the race was over, he was really intrigued with all of it. And thinking that maybe in a lot of instances that is far more important than the last fraction. Now I would bet on that, personally, that that's a more important fraction than this one, as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give you a good example of that, Tom, is someone's summer dress came back and wanted Del Mar. A horse that came in second and almost beat it, paid a $400 exacta, had a huge second fraction.
Link's dancer.
Yeah, to, yeah. Summer, to summer dress.
She was number one sustaining that race, sure, too. Sure. Well, off the second fraction.
But these maiden winners, when they step up, no matter how good their numbers are, no matter how great they look in that next field, and believe me, those maiden winners are the ones who are designed for them. If this weakness exists, it's time to play against it. And the weakness can be right here, too. I mean, if a horse goes wire to wire, but he goes 59 in that first fraction, goes wire to wire, and he's in against horses that go 60 plus, he's not going to dominate that race like he did. And then if it was a wire to wire win, don't start betting on him to come off the pace, because you don't have that much data yet. So don't take a short price on something like that. How many of you had Louis Baby this week?
Louis Baby. Oh, yeah.
That was a huge number. That couple, she came out of a maiden race, the Golden Galaxy maiden race.
Yeah.
I will tell all of you in public to upgrade that Golden Galaxy race, that maiden race that was run at Hollywood Park. I had a hell of a time making a variant because it was so powerful. Golden Galaxy came back to run well on the turf, and Wee Baby won by, what, 8 or 9 lengths. That maiden race, even after I bombed it, I mean, took it way down with the variant, was still 5 lengths better than par. The one she won the other day was 6 better than par, or 7 better than par. So you go back to any horse coming out of the Golden Galaxy race in Hollywood Park, in which I think Anna Connor was one, there were about 3 or 4 and finish
right,
somewhat within range there, upgrade that race and just start playing a key race right there. Because that was an impressive win the other day. Now, in the case of this horse that won the other day, all of her numbers indicate that she should step up to an Elmer's at 1, as long as they keep her on the dirt. And that, because before I send them out as a horse to watch, that's one thing I analyze, those numbers, so that when they get into a normal Elmer's at 1, that when I send it out to you as a horse to watch, you can handle the early pressure, late pressure, and energy distribution, and she fits with 9 winners of 1.
She had a huge, big last fraction in that race.
But she did. She fits Del Mar. She fits
right.
Del Mar, is my whole point. And she will not have this particular weakness. But when they do, when they win by 8, 9 lengths sometimes, I mean, it's a race you look at and say, Jesus, that didn't kill this 9 winners of 1. There's often a weakness early on that will nullify that whole 9 length win.
This is the reason why Tom and a lot of people use preferred phase 3, at least the readouts, to ultrascan because they can see this. When a horse starts moving here, that's a sign of strength. Let me read you one paragraph from a young man in New York. He writes a beautiful, I wish we had a computer to print like that. Turn time. I have just completed my first 100 race model using turn time. He's talking only about turn time, the second fraction, not the formula, because he doesn't have it. 76% of the races were won by the top 2. In addition, 6 races were won by non-contenders. In each of these 6 races, one of the top 2 turn time horses ran in front of the other contenders. This is incredibly exciting considering the fact that none of my other factors has had the top 2 over 68% of the time, poor guy. Yet I'm able to get 73% plus, he's only been with us 3 or 4 weeks, 73% plus analyzing the Brohammer model using win percentage early. If it continues to be as viable in a variable as it has been, look out 80%. Another value of turn time is a great reality check on the Brohammer win model. If you keep a turn time using each of the factors, it will pinpoint which one is the dominating factor, especially for those times when they were very close. I also keep a place turn time model. This is not only essential for exotics, it points out very clearly when a contender is more likely to run second, at times when early percentage in the model seem to point to a win. As Bob Regal pointed out in the follow-up, contender and pace line selection and knowing thy track are essential for a successful turn time model. So that's what Tom was just talking about.
Bob Regal was a celebrity then.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question, Doctor?
Surely.
I had a little trouble throwing Cold out of that race.
Leave
based
it in.
Based on the same logic that you kept the other horse in.
Leave it in then. That's fine.
But look, I want to go over your logic why you threw him out. He had a bad, horrible last race, but he looked like to me like in view of the fact that mile and an eighth at Hollywood is a fast early track. and we know that this is a biased track for his weight, why couldn't we take that sound?
Leave him in there. Well, here's what I did say. I said, as I recall, if you do leave him in, take him off that line way back there, he's still not going to come up on your figures.
Well, he came up in the top three. On synergism with the auto variant. On that Santa Anita race, off that mile of 16.
Yep. Bob, I want to comment on what you said about Hollywood being biased around two turns toward the front runners. It is. But that doesn't mean a stretch runner is supposed to be falling apart.
Okay.
He's supposed to be closing to indicate he's in some kind of form. He just doesn't get there. That's what. I'd have a little trouble throwing out Colt's last race because it was so dismal.
Yeah, on the same logic, you got to throw Greg Gauntlet out then. You got to throw Colt out. You got to throw Greg Gauntlet out.
Greg Gauntlet. Now we got the race down to one contender.
Well, not really. But yeah, if you want him, that you're not going to still going to get the winner. But still, Greg Gauntlet has that one factor that he has been way up.
I don't see the comparison. Greg Gauntlet was running in a one-turn mile last time. Right. Plus, he was running third at the stretch call. Cold, on the other hand, as I recall, he was never in any threat to be part of the race even, let alone third at the stretch call. I don't think the logic applies between the two of them, Bob.
Okay.
Now, see, I didn't handicap this race. All I did was make comments on it before my brother bet it.
Well,
I'm agreeing with Howard here.
That's the only horse I have trouble throwing out.
Okay. But I could not excuse Colt's last race because he showed nothing in it. That would really be hard to take. I want to recommend one other thing. I don't know what computers you're using. You're using a handheld, and if you're using Phase 3, I know there are several synergism being one. I'm not a computer. I'm not hawking the program here. But several of our Phase 3 programs give you a readout that will show you the optimal, the dream race matchup up here, all of the best fractions, and then it will align all of the contenders, or everybody you put in, it will align them by fraction, sorting on first fraction. When you're analyzing this type of thing, that's really a valuable tool. And I hope you've got the particular printout that prints it that way, because it really gives you a good look at your field as opposed to going up and one. Because I often forget when I have a different readout, I'll often forget to go up and analyze all of these fractions because each one's on a different piece of that page. Just for what it's worth.
That's a contender stand format that's also being used in
synergism. Yeah, I think it's really
good. Do you have something like that today on it? Because once you get those three fractions,
do that by hand.
They all depend on
do it.
The second.
Do it
a fellow may have a powerful third fraction, provided he had his way in the first fraction. You got to know to throw it out. You can't.
We understand, but the point is that if the best possible situation occurs, and everybody did exactly what they're that's the worst that that horse could face. So sure, you're going to say. My horse is a 53.10. Maybe your horse is the one with the future for third fraction. But he's a 55 here and a 57 here. He immediately tells you that all he's got is that, and that's not enough to overcome this.
Well,
in other words, you want to discuss it, we can discuss it, but we can't change it. We can't come to the reality that,
I don't know if it'd be proven useful in this eighth race. I noticed you got a contender stand in there.
Before you leave that point, how do you... If you want to calculate the so-called dream fraction, how do you actually, you know, what's the project?
Take the best three fractions that the race provides.
Take the what?
Best three fractions provided by the all the contenders.
No, everything in top two.
This is not the way the race will develop on paper eventually. These are just the best fractions represented in the overall running of that race. On everybody you put in. In other words, the 58.20, or let's say the 53.10 might belong to the fifth horse down here.
Sure.
And it's put up here. So that you compare these best fractions. So if you have a horse that runs 60.57.40, and immediately you see that somebody's got a much better second fraction, you have to analyze it. If nobody has a better second fraction, then this horse is going to step up against winners and win.
Sure.
Because you'll dominate again. Or shield up it again, not to be sexist.
These two are very vital in this because these two do represent what you're running. If you got a horse that ran 58.20, second fraction, the best one in the race, And that horse also ran, let's say, 59.40 here. He came on pretty well. So you're seeing that the possible matchup you're going against in the first two fractions are a 16 and a 58.20. How is your horse going to be now, the second call? He's got a second call read out over here. But how is he handling those two fractions? Is he the winner here? Does he die against the competition here? This, of course, is something you have to, as you say, he might have one fraction and be the 54 over here, but he's got 16 over, you know.
The race is almost always decided here. And when this becomes important, the race was still decided here because it was left up to this horse to catch him. But the race is always decided here, one way or the other. If it's decided in favor of the last fraction, it is still decided in favor of the last fraction. But the race is put away here. And either a closer is going to win it or the front runners are going to keep going.
And you see this?
Those first two matchups are so crucial.
Ooh, the horse can run a 53.10 and nobody else can run better than a 51.80. And he can also run a 57 second call, which puts him, you could figure, if you only use lengths, he's four lengths off or something. And he runs closes like this. You got to say, watch out, early horses, because you don't close fast enough.
Just why I just ran that race using synergism. And the second call on Pio Nino is 56.16. Next thing closest to him is 54.58.
Second call? Second fraction?
Second fraction.
Oh, okay. That difference is he's not a second call horse.
No, second fraction.
He made his move.
And he's so, you know, he's two. He's way better than anything else.
Well, he was, what, 18 lengths behind, and he made it. It's kind of like
now that's a point we should make in next class. I'm sure they're going to make that. But when you're analyzing these things, that's the kind of, it goes back to the basic manual. That's the kind of closer you want to be betting on. See, the closer you, unless the particular race you're into shapes up kind of crazy, the closer you really don't want to be betting, although at times it's appropriate, but the closer that you normally don't want to be betting is the one with only the last fraction. The closer you want is like a Pio Nino that has the dominant second fraction as well. That is a closer because that's the one that's accelerating over there on that turn that you always say, gee whiz, look at that horse go. Well, you had it all the time on paper, but now you get to visualize it and it becomes more important. But that's the kind of closer you want, somebody that's moving into gear on that turn so that you don't have to wait until they hit until they almost straighten out in the stretch when they come running because it's normally too late. That's the kind of closer you want. But that goes back to our basic methodology.
In short, you don't want a Calabunga type runner.
No, not unless the situation is such that you have five front runners that are just absolutely looking for taxis down the stretch.
When you're looking at the maiden in a sprint, how much can they be off of the first or second fraction, you know, before you decide,
There is no answer to that. I cannot quantify it. Well, all I can say is that if the horse dominated,